Start here, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to that alien disclosure in just a moment. Right with you.
We need to talk about the Dot Indian problem. Everyone has an encounter story. Two of my local friends this week had one. From Toronto to Texas, from Harrow to Melbourne. It's not random, it's the Jeets. Even in strict Singapore, where foreigners get zero welfare, locals are complaining about Indian immigration. When you call out the crass, rude, pushy, entitled behavior, the response is the same. Fuck you, bloody fuck, and your mother.
Fucking mother, bloody fuck, bitch!
Or the instant pivot to white people are just jealous of our success. Whatever wins they have was made by fleeing their shithole country. Yes, I've seen it.
150 million liters per day.
How many people's sewage is that?
1 million.
So that's the shit of a million people.
Oh, dear Jesus.
You can smell it.
And exploiting the shit out of every white loophole in Western systems. What if they actually brought rampant scamming operations, fake in-home health care, tech visa abuse displacing natives, ruthless ethnic nepotism and hiring once they get in via DEI, and welfare chain migration exploitation on the backs of white society, all the while cheering on the demographic decline of Europeans? I didn't notice as much with one Indian restaurant or a couple token Indians here or there growing up, but now it's a nonstop pipeline and there's a billion of them. They don't even like each other until it's time to hate whites. And I don't care about the exceptions because, as it turns out, even the better ones want to replace white people.
Base.
They're not Australian, not English, not Texan, not us. If their civilization and people are so superior, they can build whatever they want over there. This strong revulsion we're feeling about them isn't going away until they do.
So that's the shit of a million people.
You bloody, you bloody, you bloody.
This is just one drain.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. Good to be back with you once again. It is, well, technically it's still Thursday here. We got a couple of hours left on Thursday, but maybe where you are, it's already heading into Friday. I guess it's a mini flashback Friday we're doing here. Late night. It's 7:55 local time here in Norse Idaho, and we do actually have a massive thunderstorm on the way, so we'll see if the power lasts. The internet, who knows what could happen. Severe thunderstorm on the way here. Significant threat to life or property, the phone says. I don't know. We'll see. So, you know, we might make it 5 minutes in. We might be here for, you know, an hour and a half. Who knows? We'll see. But anyway, hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us in chat, ladies and gentlemen. And we got some stuff to cover here this Thursday because, of course, we got some alien disclosure stuff from the White House. Not sure what they're doing at the White House, but it's actually kind of funny. So that's some of the stuff we're going to get to here in a little bit. We got a couple of other stories first. I'll start with J.D. Vance, actually. It's good to see the anti-AI kind of movement. And if you watched the latest Western Warrior that we just did, I dove a little bit deeper into this issue of like them basically just doing this financial circle jerk with everything in order to just keep the hype going, in order to, you know, keep the funding moving. But at the same time, they're getting shit done with it. That's what's so scary about it. Now, if it leads to some type of, you know, slowdown on the AI front, obviously that's, you know, a net positive if you ask me. But even the stuff about, you know, it being conscious and all that stuff, right? It's mostly just hype. Even the employment scare, apparently, most of that, it's a hype that benefits those who are investing in AI and the AI companies itself, obviously. But of course, what many companies are finding out now the hard way is that it's not working as it's supposed to work. So they have to actually rehire people again. How about that? So they're not there yet. I think this was a short, good video that kind of explains the financial circle jerk with some of the headlines in it. I think there's three. Is this the one with the three women in it? Yeah, I think it is. Anyway, check this out. This is it kind of sums it up actually in a good way.
Here you go.
Thank you so much. Here you go.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Here you go.
Thank you so much. Here you go.
Thanks. Thank you.
Here we go. That's about it, right there. You lend some money around, and then, of course, you circle jerk a little bit around. Was it Anthropic is going to pay X? I'm sorry, what is it now? It's SpaceX, technically, because XAI, which is Musk's thing, it was merged with SpaceX, right? So Anthropic is going to pay them $1.25 billion a month to lease their Colossus data center, processing facility, which is quite something. But anyway, there was some more booing here. You can't boo me. I'm the Vice President of the United States. Okay, this is when AI comes up, right? Because, of course, Vance he's the tech bro. He's the Silicon Valley guy. He's the guy on the scholarship by Thiel and some of these other people, right? He's the 2028 hopeful, and we'll see what happens. I mean, at some point, the brown wave will hit, and it doesn't matter how much money and tech bro AI, funds you push behind someone. Oh, there's the thunder. It's beginning. We'll see. Well, it is Thor's Day, so of course we gotta welcome Thor. If he wants to roll around at this hour, we'll welcome him. Okay, here we go.
So I watched a few highlights of graduation speeches where this
yes.
or that corporate leader will discuss artificial intelligence, AI, and be met with literal boos. Now, you can't boo me. I'm the Vice President of the United States. So I've watched a few...
Oh, I thought they actually booed. Okay, all right. Well, RT, do you have to... Okay. RT, do you have to frame it that way? Well, of course they can boo the Vice President. Okay, this is the Air Force Academy graduates. I thought he was talking more about AI. But okay, they're going to bring that hardcore into the military, of course, as well, as we've talked about it. And it's kind of funny, the morale... I think I added in one piece on the morality issue when it comes to AI, like killing people and stuff like that. And so on one hand, Anthropic is getting, because they didn't win the Pentagon contracts. Now, of course, if they could have done that, they probably obviously would. But I showed this, speaking of which, because, of course, Palantir, hardcore pro-Israeli, Alex Karp, he's Jewish, right? They're just a big Zionist, kind of outlet. But this is from the Genesis Prize, right? AI and the Jewish Ethics of Anthropic's Founders. That whole piece here, I guess you can pause that and and read that if you want to read more about the morality of Dario and Daniela Amodei. But how does it work when, like, Palantir is also representing your Jewish values, and those are the systems you're using to kill a bunch of people with? It's interesting. Can you pick and choose these things, or is it just a chameleon that kind of flips or switches or puts on a new outfit whenever it's expedient? Yes, that seems to be the case. So anyway, so Anthropic. Anthropic is apparently the good guys somehow. I don't know, but anyway. Okay. We're listening from work this evening. Well, good to see you, Summerlitz. Thank you, man. Folk first. Cursed is 666. What was that about? Okay. So anyway, we got some AI stuff. We got some other things out of the White House here too. Did you guys see the new? You see the new bill, the $250 bill? Did you? Well, did you see it? And the big question, of course, is what's happening at the White House? What's going on over there? Now, they're doing some funny things too, obviously, but it's just this infatuation with, like, Trump's face with some golden things on it. It's like it's the Trump arch. It's the Trump ballroom. It's Trump mobile, and then it's Trump accounts and the Trump accords and Trump heights in Israel. And anyway, so here's Trump. They just decide to put the man on the proposed $250 bill, which is kind of funny too, because of course you get recognized that, like, it's like, what are you going to do with $250, dollar bill? And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. That's right, inflation. You might actually be using this much sooner. We're not into Zimbabwean dollars quite yet, obviously. We're not into Weimar, like a wheelbarrow full with cash to pay for your bread type of thing. But hey, look, give it enough time. We got some wonderful stuff in terms of the debt to GDP ratio that just surpassed 100% here. We'll talk about that in a moment too. All right. Breaking news. Trump administration officials have presented the Bureau of Engravings and Printing to design a $250 bill featuring the president's portrait in what would be the first appearance of a living person on U.S. currency in more than 150 years. Who's the other one? Does anyone know, chat? Do you guys know? I mean, I'm probably going to look it up real quick. 150 years? Oh, where does that take us? Oh my gosh, like Lincoln or something? Well, who was the last sitting president that ended up on the currency? Does anyone know? Anyway, we'll see if chat has any input on that. Google it for me and put it in chat. We'll see what it is. But it's kind of funny though. This is just it's such a circus show. Now the alien stuff's kind of funny. We'll get to that. I'll give him that. Whoever decided to do that behind the scenes at the White House is like, okay, that's whoever that guy is. Like, promote that guy because that's funny. But anyway, the printing director who resisted the effort said she was reassigned last month. The buck stopped here. She wrote in her goodbye. What about the other people that they put on the? Did that go through? Did they stop that? It was talk about. Was it Tubman? I got to look this up here. What's her name? Harriet. I almost said Marionette. Might as well be. Harriet Tubman. I just do currency. Maybe. Let me see. The $20 bill. Let's check this real quick here. Yeah, scheduled to feature on the front of a redesigned U.S. $20 bill. Of course, it's a $20 Federal Reserve Note. That's what it is. Oh, yeah, Jeannie, Lincoln is the correct answer. That's what I would assume. Of course, Lincoln put himself... Oh, my gosh. You know, of course, right? Yeah, so Tubman, that's coming up. And it was some other... Wasn't it? We covered a few of them. Oh, is this PBS? What is it? Why Harriet Tubman... Yeah, delayed past 2020. Why Harriet Tubman is still not on the $20 bill after a decade... What is this? Is it two? It's 3 minutes. Let's check this out. Spectrum News. If we can get it to load.
For 11 years, nope. Senator Jeanine Shaheen has been pushing to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill.
There was a grassroots movement back in 2015 where on the internet, people started talking about putting a woman on the $20 bill and who should it be. And overwhelmingly, people in the country said it should be Harriet Tubman.
In April 2015, she introduced
overwhelmingly in the. Can I have a source on that, please?
Legislation to do just.
Wait, Spencer Clark in 18. Spencer, is that a president? Never heard of Clark. I've never even heard of that guy. You gotta look that up. Are you lying? Are you lying, Pedro?
A year later, President Barack Obama announced that Tubman's portrait would appear on the front of the new $20 note and that Jackson would be moved to the back. The Treasury Secretary said the change would occur in 2020, the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote. But President Donald Trump was critical of the idea when he ran for the White House.
I would love to leave Andrew Jackson and see if we can maybe come up with another denomination. Maybe we do the $2 bill or we do another bill. I don't like seeing it. Yes, I think it's pure political correctness.
Well, I mean, that's obviously true, right? But hey, chance to get your African-American on there. What's wrong with that? Anyway, Pedro, yeah, you're right. U.S. Treasury official in 1866 put his own face. Oh, the Treasury official. That's why. Okay, yeah. Really? That's interesting. Okay, that's a tidbit. Thank you, Pedro. I appreciate that. The bill was supposed to feature explorer William Clark instead. You know what? Speaking of which, we're just off the... Hey, it's Thursday. We're hanging out. It's a thunderstorm on the way. Who knows how long the power will last here. So we're off to wherever we're going here. I saw a great proposal to basically make like an Argonaut style, you know, like Lord of the Rings, you know, the big statues that stands like this on the side of the mouth of a river, to do William and Clark, right? Now I did see it was actually down in Lewiston, Idaho, and of course on the other side of the river is Clarkston, by the way. So that's actually Lewis and Clark. I'm sure there's many other places too, by the way, but they actually have some, you know, statues and stuff to Lewis and Clark. But that would have been better, right? There's no Lewis and Clark, right? Should be both of them. Why shouldn't they be there? And then include some of their stories about the Giants. How about that? All right. Anyway, back on track here. Harriet Tubman. Okay, rare W here for Trump. When was this now? 2020? 4 weeks ago. All right. Okay, 4 weeks ago. But it's from, 2016? So, okay, 10 years ago. They haven't followed through. Of course, we know the next guy might do it, obviously, but still.
political correctness.
And after he took office, the effort stalled. His first Treasury secretary blamed the need to incorporate new security features into the bill.
The primary reason we've looked at redesign.
Will you tell us? Is there some new ridges on the coins coming in? What's going on here? What are we talking about here? Of course, it's all digital now. It's just so boring. It's so globalized, and it's so easy for them to. The entire system in and of itself is now the scam. It's not some, they don't need the ridges on the coins anymore.
Into right? The bill.
The primary reason we've looked at redesigning the currency.
How about George Floyd? We can do a couple of. I mean, he did the phony $20 bills, didn't he? Did he put top money on there? Was that how he was found out or something?
Is for counterfeiting issues. Based upon this.
Why can't I remember this Jew's name? What's his name, chat? Oh, it bothers me. What's his name? Is he still this Treasury Secretary? Or did they replace? He's out, right? He's not there anymore, is he?
Based upon this, the $20 bill will now not come out till 2028.
Soon after President Joe Biden.
Okay, so will they do it then? That's the big, it's going to be the big tell here, right?
Took office, his press secretary suggested the Tubman 20 spot was a priority again.
The Treasury Department is taking steps to resume efforts to put Harriet Tubman on the front of the new $20 notes.
But it still hasn't happened. A source familiar with Treasury operations in the Biden administration told Spectrum News the department had set 2030 for the redesign to incorporate those new anti-counterfeiting measures.
Why do you think it's taken so long?
Because it hasn't been a priority. It hasn't been a priority for any of our male presidents.
The Bureau of Engraving and Printing says it takes a decade to research, test, and finalize the redesign of a banknote. A Bureau spokesperson told Spectrum News the $20...
Which is, okay, a redesign, I get, but... So we'll get to that here of like, well, so how quickly can they do a $250 bill? Someone asked, like, what the hell are we going to do with a $250 bill? Like, I can't even fill up my gas tank. And it's like, the point is, like, well, exactly. That's what you're going to need the $250 bill for, to literally fill up your gas tank, okay?
The bill is still on track to be updated in 2030, but she declined to share whether adding Tubman's portrait remains part of the redesign. This new uncertainty comes amid a broad effort by the Trump administration to downplay or eliminate references to slavery in museums and national parks, following an executive order by the president to eliminate, quote, divisive narratives involving race from federal institutions.
Donald Trump has said...
They might even do it for the wrong reasons, but they are so upset about this.
Good things about Harriet Tubman and about putting her on our currency. Mm-hmm. And... for him, you know, there are four administrations now that have worked on this. For him to be able to accomplish this would be a real achievement.
We reached out to the White House multiple times to ask whether the president still viewed putting Tubman on the $20 bill as, quote, political correctness, and whether or not he would put her on any form of currency moving forward.
No.
But all of our inquiries went unanswered.
Good.
In Washington.
All right, good. Okay, just at least just ignore and delay for as long as you can. I mean, you should dismiss it. I mean, if they had balls, they're just like, no. We're not doing that. In fact, we're passing a law saying she's never going to be on a bill. But anyway, so here we go. Here's the $250 bill, a mock-up design of a proposed $250 bill featuring the president's face and signature. That's the, that's the press, what do you call it? The official White House presidential portrait, right? Couldn't they have done the mugshot? Come on, let's do this. Let's go all the way. Put the mugshot on there. All right. Does it say Federal Reserve note? Yes, it does. Federal Reserve note right at the top left there. Okay. Okay, the Trump admin officials have pressed the office responsible for printing the nation's money to design a $250 bill featuring the president's portrait, according to four current and former employees, in what will be the first appearance of a living person on the U.S. currency in more than 150 years. Starting last year, two political appointees of the Treasury Department, Brandon Beach and his senior advisor, Mike Brown, repeatedly urged staff at the agency's Bureau of Engraving and Printing to prepare prototypes of the note, according to employees. So they've worked on this for a while because Scott Bessent joined in on this.
who said the move raised concerns because federal law currently allows only deceased people to appear on bills. Okay, so they can't do it then, basically, if that's the... Okay, all right, the employee spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. It's just such fascism, folks. The artist who said he designed the mock-up told the Post they had spoken with Trump about it. British painter Ian Alexander said Trump endorsed changes to his original design, such as adding the colors of the American flag and logo commemorating the 250th anniversary of the nation's founding. Okay, he likes to call me his favorite British artist, said Alexander, a former competitive swimmer and DJ, all right, who describes himself as a royal portrait artist of Queen Elizabeth, describes himself. So is he or is he not? That's the big question. Is it not? Yeah, what was the other guy's name, chat? Did you get it? What was his name? Oh gosh, he just reminds me of Kushner. That's why I confuse him so much. He's obviously older, but he just reminds me of Kushner. What happened to him? I think he's out, isn't he? Okay, all right, anyway. So here's where are we here? Here's Scott Bessent here. Here's the gay George Soros. Former George Soros stock portfolio advisor, whatever the hell he was, turned Treasury Secretary under Trump here, talking about, I guess, how there is proposed legislation in front of the House, in front of the Senate, to change the law so that a living person, Donald J. Trump, could be on the $250 bill. At Treasury, we prepare things in advance, so we have prepared in advance that if the legislation is passed, but we will stick to the law. Okay, so currently they can't, but this is what it said anyway.
Dr. Beckman.
Yep.
How long until we see your signature next to President Trump's face on a $250 bill?
Well, as Treasury Secretary, I have two mandates for U.S. currency. At present, no living person can be on U.S. currency, and the currency must say, "In God we trust." So right now there is proposed legislation in front of the House, in front of the Senate, to change the first requirement so that a living person, Donald J. Trump, could be on the $250 bill. So it's all in the hands of the it's all up on Capitol Hill. So at Treasury, we prepare things in advance, so we have prepared in advance that if the legislation is passed, but we will stick to the law.
Ready to go.
Dr. Beck.
We will stick to the law. I think that have to. Maybe they can just do it. Maybe that's how it works. Huh? Maybe that's just how it works. All right, look at this guy. Here's the king himself coming in with a huge donut. Look at Albert here. Holy smokes. King Albert. Salutes and hails. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. Love seeing you, man. Hope everything is good. Albert says, hi, Henrik. Excited for the stream. Going to watch a bit before bed, and I'll catch the rest tomorrow. Hope everyone is well. Take care. You as well. Thank you so much, Albert. We appreciate you so much. Good $360 bucks dono from Albert right there, ladies and gentlemen. Something for your rest of you to live up to there. Don't put it all on Albert's shoulders now to support Red Eyes. If you like what we do, you can, of course... check out some of the options we got for you there. Donorbox.org/redeyestips. Entropy is over. That's where I'm using that in case you're recently tuned in. Powerchat.live/redeyes. Or you can do ko-fi, ko-fi.com/redeyestips. Thank you, Albert. Much love. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon as well, by the way. Hope everything is good. We appreciate you so much. We're so blessed. Thank you, Albert. Thank you so much. I mean, sincerely, it's just you guys are... You're incredible, and we appreciate it so much. Okay, so let's check in on this. I saw this too. Accounts, because it's funny, because it's always something, as I said, with the Trump accounts, and obviously this must be down to trying to tie up. The initiative is not bad necessarily per se. The Trump accounts thing, but it's obviously to tie up money into the. Treasury, you know, kind of circuit. What do you call it? ETFs, right? That's what they call it. Mutual funds, ETFs, tie it up into the investment portfolio, stock market overall, I would assume, right? Tie up money because of the economic situation. Oh, yeah, it's raining pretty good. We'll see if we get some thunder and lightning here soon coming in. It's been coming and going. So if the power goes, if we just disappear like that, you know what's going on. Major thunderstorm moving in over here. Okay, so Trump, I guess we could play these first. Here's Scott Bessent again talking about this. But the app is now available on all major platforms, bringing the president's vision directly to American homes. Trump accounts. Let's play a couple of these. How long are this? Okay, it's just a minute. Let's check it out.
Trump accounts, I believe, are the most important benefit.
Exactly, Boiling Frog. Yeah, Albert needs to be on the 1K Red Ice dollar bill. Exactly. We'll do a Red Ice. We'll do an Ice Giant campaign. And then we'll put Albert on there, you know. We'll do the logo symbol we have for Albert when we're on the Albert Challenge. Should pull in those graphics too, by the way. I have that here. I have it in the Flashback Friday template, but I don't have it in imported right now. Okay, let's play this.
For young people since the GI Bill. Today, the app is now available on all major platforms, bringing the president's vision directly to American homes. Nearly 6 million American children have been signed up for Trump accounts, which will launch on July 4th. And I would encourage all of you to go to trumpaccount.gov to sign up. We had a historic tax filing season. We passed the largest tax cuts in American history. The average refund this filing season is nearly $3,300, an 11% increase from last year. And important.
But how much more are people paying for gas and for groceries, right? It doesn't matter how much you get back, essentially, at this point. You've already paid. I mean, sure, you should. You get some back, yeah. What about all the tariff shit? All the corporations getting the money back? And then all the costs for that were offset over the consumers? Remember that shit?
Very importantly, 62 million returns, 44% claimed at least one of the president's signature tax cuts. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. They reduced taxes on Social Security benefits. 85% of our seniors paid no taxes, and the auto deductibility on loans for American cars. And to remind everyone, Democrats, every Democrat voted against those programs.
Well, of course they did. They want even more of your money. All right. Anyway, then it's the whole casino, and they rob you anyway. Is this the same clip?
38% of Americans have no exposure to equities. They don't share in the great innovation, the machine that is the American economy, or great capital markets, which drives.
Oof, that's rough right now. I mean, the insecurity of the stock market. I mean, it's like historic. What was it? This is like a bubble we saw in the NASDAQ in the 90s. You know, kind of like huge speculation. It's part of the AI stuff too, by the way. That's why they're hyping it so much. It's like keeping the economy afloat, GDP growth in terms of data centers. Now, there's many of them are stalled. Many of them are being canceled. People are fighting against them. They don't like it. They don't want it. And they're beginning to find out how this financial circle jerk of the AI finance scam is working. And I mean, even Sam Altman and Dario Amodei recently both had to like backtrack on their predictions about how many jobs would be lost because of AI. So is it a danger? Yeah, of course it's a danger and it's a threat in terms of the technology of where it will go. But it's not nearly enough where it should be. But I think if they can keep the circle going and just keep the financial flow of capital into the investment into AI overall and keep the hype therefore high as well. That's why they talk, oh, it's going to lose all these jobs, it's going to be upset the whole. Scott Bessent, in fact, brought in a bunch of Wall Street banks to talk about Anthropic's new model called Mythos. And it drove up the valuation of Anthropic from like $380 billion to almost $1 trillion. That's how ridiculous this is. Look at the valuation of NVIDIA. It's like, well, what is it, right? what is it based on? What do they actually have? Supposed to what's his name again? Amadeus, whatever his name is. He makes a blog post on Anthropic's website, and then everyone's like, holy shit, this is serious. Zero-day vulnerabilities. Let's call in the banks. And then, of course, valuation just goes up. Anyway. Okay, so this is some... So the whole thing here with the account, Trump accounts, a tax advantage investment and savings vehicle for children under 18, created under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Ugh. They are designed to help families build wealth for their children through long-term index investing. Get them in the stock market so we can, you know. Federal seed money, the U.S. Treasury provides a pilot contribution of $1,000 for eligible children born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028. All right. Families can contribute up to $5,000 per year. Employees may also contribute up to $2,500 annually on behalf of an employee's child, which is excluded from taxable income, they say here. Investment option. Funds must be invested in stock market mutual funds or ETFs that track predominantly U.S.-based companies such as the S&P 500. So this, it's part of, you know, driving and tying, you know, newly arrived on this plane meat into the whole machine, into the Jewish casino here. That's what it feels like to me. I'm not getting the sense that this is to help somehow. But anyway, Trump Accounts app. You excited to get in there? It's here. The Trump Accounts app has been officially launched. Now every family has a simple, direct way to get involved and build their children's future. What was the other one? This is like Robin Hood but with the Trump logo on it. Is that what this is? Get a gamble. How about Kelsey? Do some votes. What do you think? Alien disclosure? It's really the gamification of everything. I was thinking about it the other day too. Just this, the constant speculation. Like, you know, it's a very abstract and artificial kind of synthetic way, right? And of course, there's so many people that over the course of these many, many decades that the circus have been expanding like this, of course, made a lot of money on this, right? But what is it really beyond just, you know, at the end of the day, at least if you account for the entire financial system overall, from the printing of the money based on nothing to the quantitative easing to the fractional reserve lending and all the tricks and, you know, the Nobel winning economists that are getting prizes for coming up with some new slice, weird way of like selling insecure loans and shit, you know, you're robbing future generations, basically. That's what this is. Anyway, there's an African American there, I think, on the picture there. All right. Anyway, so get the Trump Accounts app from the White House if you're into these kinds of things. All right. What are we doing here? Oh, debt to GDP. Here we go. This is good news here in terms of the stock market, right? The Dow, Bondi, by the way. The Dow is over 50,000. She was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, I saw, by the way. She was getting a different position, I think, Pam Bondi, within the White House. But the increases, of course, in the stock market, it's they go up as fast as they go down, and then they go back up again. It's like kind of the Iran war thing, like the flip-flopping and insecurity is kind of part of the rigging now. It's the only way you can kind of get, I think, massive gains maybe in that kind of way now. You drive the news cycle, press releases. Everyone's kind of learned that, right? So the Trump admin and his cronies and the Lutniks or whatever, they can engage in that type of behavior. And then the same can happen with the AI people, essentially. And now it's just about getting more people involved in that process too. And that's where the Kelsey's comes in, or the poly market, right? Bet on everything. Everything is just a big game, a synthetic gamification of life. How many stars did you get? What's your FICO score? There's nothing real left anymore. It's just all synthetic. Anyway, back to this issue of why things are not looking that great. The U.S. debt tops 100% of GDP. They officially crossed the U.S. the milestone where the publicly held national debt exceeds the size of the entire U.S. economy. That's what we should be talking about. Well, well, well. That's right, Adam. Those things. That's right. The nice, the wail. What do you call it? The vibrato at the end of that. Talking about good stuff. The numbers. Federal debt held by the public stands at 31.27 trillion. Which is like, what does it even mean? What is it? And who do we owe the money to? While the net nominal gross domestic product over the preceding 12-month period was 31.22 trillion, putting the debt to GDP ratio at 100.2%. Trump debt is good, Democrat debt bad. Yeah, pretty much. We owe the money to one big Jew. I thought that was the aliens. The lizard people. No? All right, we'll get to the aliens here soon, guys, because it's kind of funny. All right. Okay. My mouse is spurging out. What happened to Archive? We're still live? Oh. Don't give me some. Just get me in there, please. The ADL. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It is possible. There we go. Thank you. Here we go. Sorry, I thought it was Washington Post. The New York Times. The debt is now bigger than the economy. That's not the real problem. Really? I think the argument he's making is that the big problem is that no one cares, but that's still kind of part of the problem, right? Anyway, Washington quickly brushed off a startling milestone in a mounting problem. It's like, well, 90... What does he say? The argument is, well, 99% is bad. And so what's the difference if it's just 1% more, basically, right? Spartan Sardaukar for two says, "Have you learned nothing from the Jews? Do not read my chats for free." Oh, it was a good comment. Well, thank you for the $2. I appreciate that. It does help, but nowhere near Albert, ladies and gentlemen. Collective shame. Anyway, we appreciate you guys. Thank you. Okay, so what are we here? Well, that's true, Sardaukar. We gotta kind of gamify this. We gotta gamify it more. This is there's a big thunderclap. You guys hear that? You can hear the walls rumbling in the background. This was a complaint here in the article. Within a week of the reporting of the statistical landmark, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was on Capitol Hill defending the largest Pentagon budget requested in American history. I agree. That's should it be that big? No. Lots of fraud, lots of black budget stuff too going on kind of behind the scenes, right? But anyway, and the Senate proceeded with efforts to pass a $72 billion immigration enforcement package through reconciliation, bypassing a potential filibuster and waiving its own rules against deficit-increasing legislation. Now, wasn't that what was part of the One Big Beautiful Bill? Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe this was a separate, different thing. It sounds like that's kind of the amount that was talked about, which, of course, was like one of the few good things about it. But then remember Steve Miller said, well, Thomas Massie voted against deporting immigration. And it was like, no, it was because of the issue with the deficit and the very thing we're talking about here. Massie was sensible enough to like, this is just no good. Even if there's some positive things in there, this is no good. What are you guys doing? How many more billions for Israel? When does it stop, right? So, of course, one way to deal with this massive deficit, of course, is to get away all these federal programs, get away all the fraud, get away all the migrants, all the dependency and the welfare and stuff like that, free things up in terms of the housing market and free things up in terms of companies' ability to employ Americans as opposed to illegals or legals or H-1Bs, whatever it is, right? So, I mean, this is what Massie voted against. Right there, for the most part. I mean, there were some other issues in there too, but that's basically what they were talking about, huh? Wasn't it? All right. Anyway, what was the line here I wanted to read? How we got here? No, that wasn't it. Yeah, here it is. Right, debt isn't like a reserve that starts overflowing when it exceeds 100% capacity. 99 is a bad number. 101 is worse than 100. We make a big deal out of 100 because it's a round number, said Michael Peterson. Pet Dejon, the chief executive of the Peterson Foundation. What should be more disturbing is this. There's no end in sight. And if debt hawks, is that what they call them now? Debt hawks? Is that what kind of anti-Semitic language is that? There's no end in sight. And if debt hawks can't spur action with even this milestone, what is to be done? Absolutely nothing. And I mean, just as a, like as a theoretical side note to all of this too, but like basically you can just keep the circus going for however long you want. What does it matter if it's 300 trillion versus 30 trillion? What, I mean, really, what is the difference if you continuously keep lending from, you know, the next, you know, generation? Well, we can't make the payments. Okay, well, you can have the Federal Reserve basically do another IOU. That's what I've basically been doing all this time. So why is it like, I'm not saying it should happen, but I'm saying as a weird technicality, and it's not that I agree with them, but it's so late in the game now, like since you went off the gold, you know, gold standard, and it's not based on anything. It's just, you know, Federal Reserve notes, right? You can literally just you can have an AI. How about AI does this? You just have an AI that every time the payment is due, it just continuously provides more money to the Federal Reserve, to the central bank, right? And you do another loan, and then when the money for that is due, the interest for that is due, you loan more money. I mean, really, it's like modern monetary theory. It's like, not, well, why don't we just print like endless amounts of money? And it's weirdly, they're not wrong, because it's been going for such a long time. I know it's about down to, you know, people's faith in the cycle of itself, of finance, and, you know, the markets and all that stuff, right? So sure, there's a lot of things up in the air that could potentially become problems. But I'm saying as a theoretical reality, you can, if you're $30 trillion in debt, you can be $300 trillion in debt, and you can be 3,000 trillion in debt. You can be when does it change? What's next after trillion? Does anyone know? Is that when you get up to a Google, a Goggle, or what was it called again? A Magog? All right. Anyway. Just a big joke. It's just a joke. Okay. That was Dark City, speaking of lizard people running us. We're kind of some weird archons, right? Okay. It's a good movie, Dark City. Check it out if you haven't. Very, very well made. Okay, so no one cares, basically. That's the point. No one cares. Spartan Sardaukar for two against us. I would base the economy on resources of planet Earth. Water, gold, wood, soil, everything. Money is fiction, a good tool, but in the hands of evil. Yeah, I mean, and that's true. That comes down to it. And in fact, so they're kind of, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean when you say that, but they're trying to do that stuff too. Remember the natural asset classes? Now, this was introduced on the New York Stock Exchange about, when was this? 2021, I think, to pull up an old article. Now, they decided to scrap it, but I can see that it's kind of like a, it's not carbon credits, if you guys remember that, right? But that's still kind of at play behind all of this. I mean, to a certain extent, it's tied to the limitations of the resources of the natural environment. That's true, right? At the same time, it does get interesting if you do have any type of significant exploration of some of the other planets or something, and if you do have other minerals or finds. Wasn't there something that, wasn't the mineral rights to like Mars already sold or something? Was like it was in the hands of three? I could never figure out if that was fake or not, but I thought it was something like that. It was like the mineral rights has already been sold. What's the thunder again? There's Thor. What was I going to look up? Oh, natural asset classes, New York Stock Exchange. Not interested. Learn complex concepts with AI mode. Go away, Gemini. Yes, the Intrinsic Exchange Group. That's what it was. A specialized classification. But what was weird about this, it's like, because what you're proposing, I think, is a sound idea, is Sardaukar, but what they were trying to do is like monetize nature, essentially, right? Like kind of, in other words, what I saw it as, it's like, oh, here's this function within nature. Like, oh, look at these trees. They do, you know, with chlorophyll, they convert, you know, CO2 to oxygen. So that's obviously a very good thing. So can we somehow genetically manipulate these trees to produce more? Can we maximize, that type of thinking, like coming into the picture where like now a river flowing through a landscape is like worth money. So it was like this sickening way of just seeing nature as a, I'm not saying that's what you're saying, Sardaukar, but I'm saying that's what the extension to this was, right? Seeing nature as a just a, yeah, an exploit. It's just a capitalism, predatory capitalism is like the primary function, and then nature itself is like secondary to that. That's what this felt like. That's the vibe I got from this. So the New York Stock Exchange officially withdrew its proposal for this asset class called Natural Asset Companies, NACs, and the Intrinsic Exchange Group. There was some interesting things behind them too, by the way. Yeah, to capture the financial value of ecosystem services, such as carbon sequestration. Is that how you pronounce that? I've heard that word. Now, for some weird reason, my brain is farting out here. Sequestration. Is that how you say it? Sequestration, I guess you could say, too. Anyway, carbon sequestration, biodiversity, and clean water. Well, that sounds good, right? But it's like, can we inject nanobots in the water that will make it cleaner? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like this now, and then they own nature is not its own now. It's in the hands of, anyway, I'm not sure how we ended up in this track, but anyway, it was an interesting thing. Disgusting and interesting. Very offensive proposal. While there are currently no NACs trading, oh, we got a flicker of the light here. It looked like. We'll see. Get a power outage. Thunderstorm, don't blame me. While there are currently no NACs trading publicly on the exchange, the Intrinsic Exchange Group continues to develop natural asset projects in private markets and is exploring alternative opportunities to list these securities on international exchanges. So I think this will coming. I think that will be, it might even be like where the merger of these two, you know, like the green transition and the carbon, because carbon is tied into the carbon credits, carbon sequestration, you know, these types of things, it's tied into it. And it will probably bubble up to the surface again and be launched again in some capability, I would assume. Okay, so here we go. Here's some White House posts here. 3.5 million. Are you listening? So I didn't actually listen to this yet. But let's listen then. Let's listen to this, shall we? Okay. So this one is obviously tied to the second one that they did here. Loading. Tonight. You guys see this yet? It's signs. Crop circles. That was worse than again. It's all just made with AI. They don't even have any a CGI team there, but loading tonight. Okay, here we go. This is kind of good, I guess. That's all right. Okay. I'll allow it. We're up next. I'm so nervous. Okay. Everything's a sign if you're insane enough. Okay, so this is kind of funny. So the alien disclosure thing here. There was a pivot on all this. And maybe it's damage control because they realized how much people were making fun of it. They walk among us. Aliens.gov. Remember we talked about how they bought the domain or bought, but the govs. Do they buy the domain? No, they just issue it, right? They are. Are they domain? I don't know. What does that matter? It doesn't matter. Shut up, Henry. Come on. All right. Let's just play the damn clip, right? Shut up. Oh, it's the gay anthem. Why did they add that in there? So and the music stops when he is dropped over the border there. The aliens are among us. They walk among us. You can no longer be part of the YMCA club on this side of the fence. I mean, I'll take it. But what the hell? Why did they have to do that for? Anyway, didn't he just declare? Wasn't there some statement he made about how the Trump YMCA gay anthem or something? What was it again? Was that what he said? I thought it was a recent thing. What is this? Trump describes. When is this from? March. It's from Mars. We say mush in Sweden, so just I'm allowed. Oh, there's thunder again. Donald Trump describes playing gay national anthem YMCA at Mar-a-Lago parties. Mm-hmm. Why? As the gay national anthem always proves to be a hit. In an interview with Full Send Podcast, the former president. Wait, what date is it? Oh, 2022. Look at that. I'm asleep at the switch here. I thought it was this year, like a couple of months ago. All right, well, what the hell? I thought there was some new comment about this, the YMCA. Anyways, see, the point is, he adds that in, whoever made the goddamn AI video, add that in. So when they take the alien, is that they walk among us, but then in the video, they lift him up and drop, so he no longer walks among us, right? And then no more YMCA for you. So click on aliens.gov and you realize that they're actually talking about the illegal aliens. I'll take it. It's not too bad. It's a pretty funny pivot and heck of a lot more important than the other shit at this point, obviously. They walk among us. For 60 years, the U.S. government has kept a closely guarded secret. Aliens have been walking among us, living in our neighborhoods, and interacting with us in our daily lives. They've shopped with us. They live, right? I'm sorry. Wouldn't that have been a better one to make a spoof of, right? They live. I mean, how would you... Well, you put... They're aliens, and you put on the glasses, and they're just like Mexicans and Jeets and... You know, Africans or something. Anyway, they've shopped in the same stores, attended the same classes as our children, and lived seemingly normal human existences. With one exception, they do not belong here. Millions arrived under the cover of darkness and embedded themselves directly into our society. Countless presidents, congressmen, and senior officials knew exactly what was happening. Instead of protecting American citizens, they chose to cover it up and even accelerate the invasion. Is this some... the Epstein debacle is so bad, and then that they were called out on the alien stuff. They had to, like, spin it into a new kind of way. Because they're still... I mean, they still do the other alien stuff, too, right? I mean... Bunch of reports, there's new footage out from the Pentagon continuously, they're still driving that line. I thought this is a good messaging, though. I mean, it's a funnier messaging. Not perfect, but it's slightly better. Instead of protecting American citizens, they chose to cover it up and even accelerate the invasion until one man finally had the courage to tell the truth. Bold, unapologetic, unafraid... President Trump was the first to call out the real dangers aliens pose to every American family, every community, and the future of our nation. The truth is no longer out there. It's right here, right now. 3,129,000, almost 130,000 encounters, alien arrest map live. All right. Okay, well, that's not too bad. You can check that out then. Is the deportation all, is it happening, or are they just doing a, are they just merging these two, like the Epstein distraction with the aliens, with the not kind of the slowed down deportation agenda into just a sideshow like this to try to kind of pretend just to make fun of it, but at the same time kind of boasting that they're still kind of doing something about it, right? I mean, again, the best guy was the, for sure, was Greg Bovino. He follows, I thought that was funny. He follows me on Twitter, Greg Bovino. Where is he? He's like, how many illegal migrants is it? How many legal migrants? What is it? Is it around 50? What is the official number, right, of like white Americans? If you exclude the, which obviously you should anyway, it is, I don't know why they do it, but the Hispanic shit that they're trying to like kind of wedge or shoehorn in there. Oh, the white Hispanics or something. No such thing. Anyway. Where were we going here? Where did they go? Oh, Bovino. He wanted to deport a hundred million people. I think he said, it was like, now we're talking. Let's play it again. Now when we're talking about aliens and how many of these creatures are among us.
And when you bring that many from another culture that don't care about your culture, you've got a problem. And you ask me, do we see that? So we saw that on the ground in every single city we were in. Why someone would come out and fly a foreign flag in the streets to protest or whatever they were doing when immigration officers were there is beyond me. Yep. But what that did do is it let me know that there's something else afoot here, and our culture is definitely in jeopardy by those hundreds of millions of
And let's be bold and straight and honest. Our very existence as a race is in jeopardy. Look at the stuff we covered in Germany. Right, 60, even 70% now of migrant foreign-born under the age of 18 in some parts of Germany. It's do or die. This is the last generation here or two now that we have. Otherwise, it's going to be extreme. Doesn't mean it's impossible, but it means it will be extremely difficult to do something. Right? So like, do you have to do, in Germany's case, you have to do an AFD. You do other things too, obviously, but I'm just saying in terms of like any type of political, another glitch here. Yeah, we're still good. All right, power might go. It started, I saw, maybe you didn't see these lights. I see two other lights that are not as strong as these. They are flickering. Anyway, what were we doing? Oh, yeah. So AFD, why not? Like, let him have a go then. Let the lesbian who's married to an Indian, like, my gosh. I know. It's just, is this what we get? Everything is just gay and stupid and retarded. But okay, they're saying that, AFD says they're going to deport people. But they probably won't, though. Anyway, 100 million. Let me just get Greg Bovino's comment there. 100, I think he even says hundreds of millions.
Foreigners that, as you say, don't care about your culture. They don't care about your race, history, your customs, values, beliefs, whatever. They don't care. You know, Edward and Lauren,
they're
maybe your grandfather
race.
Died at Iwo Jima, or your great-great-great-grandfather died at Gettysburg, or I don't know, maybe even an ancestor died at Kings Mountain in the Revolution. Do you think they care about that? Do you think those hundreds of millions of...
They probably think it was good that they died. I get your point,
Greg. Legal aliens here care that your ancestors gave everything for this country? I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing...
They don't even bother to learn our language.
Well, some of them want a new Gettysburg.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't even care. They
wouldn't even know. And they don't care that your grandfather died at Iwo Jima or Gettysburg or who the founding fathers even are. They don't care. And I think, to me, that is a greater threat to our society and to what we have going in America that we built, that Americans built. Let me say that again. Americans built that. You know, there's an argument creeping in.
Migrants built this country.
Yes, absolutely not. Americans built that. Settlers built that. So we need to keep it that way because there is a large percentage of individuals, again, that don't care. That, to me, is a greater threat than a violent criminal or a terrorist. We know where they're at. We can always get them. They always have that criminal record. Sure, we want to go after them, but we can do that in conjunction with mass deportations.
All right. Anyway. Yep. I mean, he's right. He might use the euphemism of culture or heritage or something, or not even heritage, but culture and like just, I mean, at some point it's, you just don't say race. I think so. I think that's an inevitable trajectory. With everything that's going on so far, I don't think it would just stop there. Some point it will just be, yes, it's about the survival of our race. You know, I think that'll be that happen. If that doesn't happen, right, in terms of mass adoption, or at least a decent percentage that's willing to get active and do something about it, then you'll have failure on that front, and that will be that, basically. But anyway, here's back to the alien arrest map here. The point here, though, is you can't just focus on illegal criminals. You know, there's a much deeper problem than that. I've said, if you witnessed an alien abduction, do not be alarmed. The alien is in good hands. We will take care of it and return it safely to its place of origin. Report suspicious aliens. ICE tip line. All right. Okay. Well, what do you guys think? Is this just dumb and gay, or is it kind of funny? I don't know. It feels like it's damage control. It's decent, but it's damage control. They weren't little green men. These aliens are the millions of illegals who invaded our country under the cover of darkness. Okay, all right. Stay informed. Informed of alien encounters in your area. Yeah, all right. Okay. So what are we doing here, guys? What are we doing? Speaking of space, do you guys see this? Jeff Bezos' new rocket here. We're doing some static testing, and apparently we had a little mishap, and the thing blew up. Ooh. Whoops. Now that sounds like thunder in the background. Huh? Decent. Decent explosion. What do you guys think? Should I read what, Blue Origin explodes during test in Florida. We had, what is it here? New York Times. You're gonna, yes, you are. Of course you are. Let's see if I can find, archive. Let's see if we can find it on archive. Blue Origin rocket blows up on Florida launch pad during test. The rocket, built by Jeff Bezos' owned space company, was to carry 48 satellites into space. Really now? How about that? What kind of satellites? The AI data centers? That? Oh my gosh. Bicycles? You're gonna do this to me now? Sometimes Archive never gives me those little things, and sometimes it does. Maybe it's VPN or something. All right, anyway. Okay. Oh, gosh. Slow. No, that doesn't work? Okay, that's weird. That's interesting. All right, well, here's the headline anyway. Yeah, there was some static test or something. They said they had recorded something, and it was like looking... What was static? Let me see if I can find that post here. Yeah, here we go. The Blue Origin New Glenn rocket, apparently they call it here, exploded during a static fire test. Static fire test. The company said that they experienced an anomaly during the test. Yeah, it kind of looks like it does look like an anomaly during the test there too. And that all personnel have been accounted for. Blammo. It's rocket fuel. How are things going with these, like the plasma engines and all that shit? Like, is there any development or any of that? I mean, they could blow up too, I guess. some of the ways a lithium battery can just catch on fire, but not like that, though. I'm not against rocket fuel. Holy smokes. Jack Parsons, he did a pretty good job finding some interesting ways to get into the rocket fuel world. If you don't know about that rabbit hole, check it out one day. All right. Anyway, that's the White House page. Peter Thiel, speaking of which here, too. We talked about Vance earlier. Apparently, he's moving to Argentina. Did you guys see this? I have the archived. Whoop. That was a flicker, for sure. Yeah, we might lose you guys any moment here. Still coming through? Let me know, chat. Still good? That UFO should have dropped that fucking wetback on his head from 100 feet out there. Oh, the White House post? Yeah. Okay. So here's allegiance to nothing, right? Despite, look, you can't say, but it feels... Thiel has driven this line of kind of the West and, you know, the America and, you know, then Palantir is doing the same thing. And we're going to defend our service. And they do shit for, like, on behalf of Israel, obviously. We know why they're, how and why they're, like, quote unquote, standing up for America, these people. But still, they have no allegiance to anything, despite the fact that it's of lip service. Of allegiance to things or values or whatever, right? It's just about them and their weird transhumanist shit and their gay things. And in his case, literally gay things. But anyway, they're bailing out, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they've never had any allegiance. I guess let me backtrack. Let me state this clearly and communicate that in the best way possible. They've never had an allegiance to anything. They only have it as long as it's advantageous to them and their agenda and the things that they want to drive, their projects, their endeavors, their activism. But that's why these guys have been buying doomsday bunkers in, you know, multi-million dollar, by the way, Hawaii, New Zealand, you know, those islands off of here and there. But apparently now he's eyeing Argentina. Peter Thiel. The billionaire's new roots in Argentina are said to be partially motivated by concerns about the future of the United States. Yeah, and shared beliefs with Argentina's right-wing leader. But he's probably not going to be in there for too much, to be honest. Looks like the leftists in Argentina are seeking to get him out. I mean, look, they might not. The Saturday tournament of the Buenos Aires Chess Club hosted its usual lineup of players, including an accountant, a college student, and school children. But this time, hunched over the club's tiny wooden tables with them was a new entrant. Entrant? Peter Thiel, the right wing. Yeah, he's so right wing. So I love how he's a right wing. He's whatever wing he has to be to advance his, you know, his trannyism. The right-wing tech billionaire and Trump donor, Mr. Thiel, who, according to one of the participants, did not play badly and came in third, had recently decamped from his homes in L.A. and Miami to establish a foothold thousands of miles away in Argentina's capital. Over the past 2 months, Mr. Thiel has met with the country's president, Javier Milei, and his Jewish ministers. I'm sorry, and his ministers purchased a mansion in one of Buenos Aires' most exclusive neighborhoods and hosted a dinner with local economists where he discussed the Antichrist, one of his favorite conversation topics. it's just so gay. Okay, all right. According to Argentine officials and people familiar with Mr. Thiel's activities, Thiel, who has a history of collecting backup countries. Yeah, who else does that, by the way? Essentially, I mean, technically, every other group than whites are collecting backup countries. Jeets do it. Jews do it. Arabs do it. Everyone has a backup country. I mean, that's our countries, right? Technically, that's the backup country. And then if something goes awry with the backup country, they can go back to their home country again. Isn't that how it works? As he hedges his bets against the United States, it's considered to make in Argentina another plan B, according to two people familiar with his thinking. Born in Germany and raised in the United States, he received his citizenship in New Zealand in 2011, because, of course, that's also the doomsday bunker shit. So they passports, what does it matter? These are ruthless cosmopolitans, right? An international class of people that are neither here nor there, with allegiance to nothing else but themselves and their weird, sycophantic psychological diseases and neuroses. He applied for a passport in Malta in 2022. Of course he did. His new roots in Argentina are partially motivated by his concerns about the direction of the United States. Mm-hmm. All right. Particularly California. Well, there's other places you can go to. All right, okay. Where an initiative on November's ballots could lead to a significant tax on billionaires. Yeah. Argentina, a nation relatively insulated from the potential conflicts in the Northern Hemisphere, also fits a potential escape hatch from other risks that Mr. Thiel has publicly warned about. Nuclear war and runaway artificial intelligence. Why would runaway AI be... Why would people be safe from that in Argentina? But I don't, okay, whatever. I guess he knows something we don't. But anyway, right now he's butting up with wall thumper Javier Milei because of his libertarian slash-and-burn governance and becoming enamored with Buenos Aires' vibrancy, the people said. Oh, yeah, of course. The gay scene, apparently, in Buenos Aires there. Is that what he's... is that what he means? Is that what vibrancy means? It's a homo euphemism. Were you right there? They and others familiar with the billionaire's activities and discussions about the country spoke on condition of anonymity. Okay, so you know, maybe they're just making it up, New York Times, I don't know. But probably not, to be honest. Okay. Okay, I don't think we have to read more about that. There's the wall humper there, Milei. And here's the gay vibrancy. It's just with a big phallus right in the middle of Buenos Aires right there. How about that? Now, look, I'm an obelisk respecter. I'm fine with it. But maybe not in Buenos Aires. All right? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Should we cover some other things here, too? The EU, I wanted to cover the EU, actually, a little bit, too. We talked about AFD and their chances or whatever. But anyway, what they're obviously going to do is obviously just, let's just ban them all. Let's ban all of them. If they don't do what we want them to do, oh, shouldn't have closed that window. Let's just ban them. If they don't have our values, if they don't hold our democratic values, we gotta save democracy and just ban them. So right now, Politico had a story here about how one of the European parties, the Europe of Sovereign Nations, and it's not, I don't think it's, is it ESN? Spelled differently, I think, in the founding German. They'll get to the abbreviation. Yeah, no, it is ESN. Okay, ESN, Europe of Sovereign Nations. They might lose their funding and its right to be a political party because apparently they're too far right. So a Brussels watchdog have now said, well, we have found a bunch of racist, you know, fascist, neo-fascist, anti-Semitic things, apparently, with members who are part of this Europe of Sovereign Nations, which means then that they apparently could lose their funding, and they will just be banned outright. And, of course, it kind of relates to really coming up against the perimeters of democracy in so many of our countries right now. Really testing and challenging, but of course at the same time then really exposing, right, the failures of liberal democracy. And this is now, of course, not news to us. We know that the only way that these multiracial empires, countries, unions, whatever you want to call them, can maintain themselves is to become increasingly authoritarian. Because these countries are so become so weak with multiracialism, multireligious, religious pluralism, and when they become multiethnic, that you have to ban everything that can offend it, because the very foundations of the entire thing are so shaky. It's like a house of cards, and the slightest little puff of air will blow the whole thing over, essentially. Which means you can't, you know, you can't point out the politicians or what they're doing. You can't point out lies. That's the whole disinformation campaign bubbled up to the surface from, right? All these truth or all these lies are being told, you know, online and on social media. So you have to have the European Internet, what is it called again? The Safety Act, or what was it called? The Digital Safety Act, right? The DSA. And basically just stop people from pointing things out and noticing and saying things about what's wrong with the system. Because it will just fly over and destroy itself in an instant. So, of course, it's an indictment against the liberal democracy itself, right? We talked about in the Western Warrior show about White Australia, that they're challenging that. The High Court in Australia has taken up the case of kind of looking at is the White Australia Party with Tom Sewell in the head of that. Is that a ban that is, I guess, from their point of view, unconstitutional, right? They've decided to take up the case. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. And it's good that we have, when there's any group or any, in this case, political party in Australia, with the White Australia Party, when they come up against the perimeters of the allowed discourse and what they're allowed to focus on political issues, because it not only exposes the system, which is good, it could be a healthy wake-up call for some people. And there's already legal experts in Australia, for example, that have said, like, well, if they can ban them for the views they hold or what they say, they can ban any party for saying anything. And in this case, we'll roll around to this in a moment here, too. In the EU, it's just like, well, it's just my values. It's just, well, the EU, the values of the EU are being... are not aligned with the Europe of Sovereign Nations Party in the EU, so we'll just ban them, right? This is not evidence or failure of an explicitly, in Australia's case, a white party, for example, a political party, right? It exposes the failure, that's some thunder for again, the failure and danger of a multiracial country. That's what it does, right? If Australia, or in this case, the EU, or the individual nations in the EU still were overwhelmingly white or native European, there wouldn't be a need for these, you know, in that sense, far-right nationalistic parties, right? And who did that, right? Who allowed the borders to be open? Who approved of us changing our... the morality changed fundamentally, and then the people that had that new adopted morality came into positions of political power. If they're not directly blackmailed or undermined or simply just serve other ethnic groups' agendas, which of course highly likely in many cases probable and accurate, right? It's actually what's happening. But the responsibility of the existence of these nationalistic parties that want to fight back against that lay entirely on those democratic forces and parties, whatever it is, that have allowed our nations to become significantly less white over the last few decades, right? That's where the responsibility lies. And then you have someone who shows up and says, this is obviously the wrong policy. It's a genocidal policy, extinction policy. And then they simply say, well, then we'll ban you for saying those things because we're inclusive. And it's the only means that we have to defend ourselves. The only means to ensure that we are not going extinct are continuously just called like Nazism or something. Then maybe you should reevaluate whether Nazism is a bad thing. Like if the only thing that ensures your survival is classified as Nazism, and then obviously Nazism is not the problem. Most people watching this, I assume, they don't have a problem with the term, or they don't really care, or even if they don't align with the National Socialist values and yourself. I think you mostly kind of understand, obviously, how it's being used and all that. But I'm just saying, like, it's a thought experiment, right? That's why, like, well, racism is bad, or, you know, so what, Nazism is bad. And then anything that you do continuously puts it in the immoral bracket so that the only moral thing you can do is to go extinct, right? Big problem. Okay. And that's where we're at. That's where the kind of the battle is now. Will people just basically don't give a shit and realize, oh, in fact, would we even have been here if the bad guys, the supposed bad guys, historically speaking, won? Or if what they had proposed would have been in effect in our nation, would we have even seen this late stage of demographic replacement in Europe? Of course not, right? All right, anyway, we can listen to a riveting podcast here from Politico as they summarize a little bit of this for us. The ban threat facing Europe's far right. That's one hell of a way to phrase that, by the way. Politico Europe, 91 views. Wow. Who knew? Anyway, let's listen to these two gay ladies here.
Righto. Well, Sarah, our first story today, it's about the far-right Europe of Sovereign Nations party. That's the European-level party that's the home of the Alternative for Germany, the AfD in Germany. And yesterday, the watchdog that oversees the European political parties here in Brussels triggered a process that could result in the ESN party being stripped of its right to be a political party, and it could lose its funding.
Yeah, and so before we get deep into this, we should clarify, and this is one of those things about Brussels that took me years to really pin down, but we have an ESN party, which is like an umbrella organization of different national political parties. They kind of coordinate on messaging and stuff. And then we have an ESN group in the European Parliament, and those are MEPs who have the same views and all kind of work together. The Parliament group is not being banned. We're not saying that these guys can't work together in the Parliament, but the party, which coordinates on messaging and helps run campaigns for those MEPs in the European Parliament elections, they're the ones who are facing some scrutiny here.
Yeah, so the ESN...
Facing some scrutiny. You fucking doofus. They're threatening to ban them all out together. And what does it mean? If you have two components of basically the same thing, and then now you're... We're not going to ban the party, you see. We're just banning the group that's like the umbrella structure for the parties. They can't do anything, but of course we can't ban the party. Ugh. Yeah, so the ESN group, Europe of Sovereign Nations group, is the parliamentary faction inside the European Parliament. It's made up of elected members of the European Parliament, MEPs from various nationalist and right-wing parties. Its primary role is to coordinate legislative work, vote in parliament, and organize parliamentary committees. So that's slated to be banned, if they are reporting correctly on this. But then the ESN party, Europe of Sovereign Nations party, this is the broader, legally recognized pan-European political organization outside of the parliament. Okay, so basically, it doesn't matter then. That's basically what it is. They banned the very thing that would be effective, right? All right, this is just so dumb. It's made up of national political parties themselves rather than individual MEPs, and it's used to coordinate broader political action, handle EU subsidies, and prepare for EU-wide elections. Okay, well, anyway, so they ban... we're just banning your right hand, but not your left hand. And the only way to work this is to hold things in both hands. Anyway. Hey, Albert is back. Holy shit, look at this guy. He's back on Donor Box. Albert says, not going to lie, the $250 bill is funny. I would be tempted to get one with my Trump watch and sneakers. Oh, careful. you're angering people in the chat, Albert. That's funny. I think the alien stuff is decent messaging to try to kind of salvage it. I don't think it's enough, you know, whatever. But again, mind you, though, if you're going to get your hands on that $250 bill, they are going to have to pass the law to change the federal law, obviously. Will that happen? I mean, it's possible. I guess maybe that will happen. I assume both the House and the Senate or something would have to vote on it. I would assume that would be the same thing. So chances of that might be slim, you know, to be honest. Thank you, Albert. We appreciate you. That's so kind of you. Thank you, man. Good to see you as always. Hope everything's good. That's right, the Trump sneakers, that's right, the Trump sneakers. What else was it? The watch. I remember he had a, okay, what was it, so vain. Very nouveau riche, the Christmas ornament, which was the hat. What is it? I mean, it's everything, Trump mobile, like it's just his name on everything, right? I'm surprised he didn't say the Trump bill or something, or the Trump $250 bill. Maybe that will be in the final design of the thing, though, to be honest. Anyway, thank you, Albert. We appreciate you. Hope you're doing well. A bit late over there. Past midnight, I think. We're going to go a little longer here for a little bit. It's just a warm-up show for tomorrow here. But I wanted to come on with you guys. Hope you appreciate it. Anyway, thank you, Albert. And, yeah, if you want to match Albert, if you want to help out, if you appreciate Red Ice, hey, send us a super chat. Dono, support the show. DonoBox.org/RedIceTips. Don't forget to check the little write us a comment checkbox when you go there. You can also reach that page if you go to redice.tv/live. Scroll down. That little widget is embedded there. Then you can put the message in. We'll see on this end. Or you can use powerchat.live/redice or ko-fi.com/redicetips. Some of you guys are still using Rumble, but they're kind of, I'll say it again, they're kind of iffy. So last few streams, we've gotten, you know, like if we get 5 super chats on Rumble, only 4 or 3 shows on the back end again. I thought that was over, but apparently it's not. I don't know what they're doing on Rumble, but they have to be, we have to send them an email about that now too and ask them about that. Anyway, so these 3 options on screen are really the safest, and they'll give us the most as well, by the way, because if you pay through the, if you do a dono through the Rumble app, then Apple takes 20% or 30 or something, and then Rumble takes 25, so it's like half the money is gone. So if you want the majority of it, go to us, use DonorBox, use PowerChat, Ko-Fi is pretty good too. All right, back to the clip here.
And it was founded after the EU election back in 2024, when the Alternative for Germany picked up a bunch of seats. And it was formed by the AfD at that time and includes members of Bulgaria's Revival Party, France's Reconquest, and there are a few others in there as well.
Yeah, and so these are some really very far-right groups. And the watchdog, the Authority for the European Political Parties and Foundations, is coming after them because they're saying they found evidence that the ESN party doesn't comply with European values.
Yeah, and so under EU rules, governing...
What do you mean? What do you mean doesn't comply with European values? Let's check in here. Again, what are those values again? Remind me.
Europe is the values of the Talmud.
did you catch that again?
Europe is the values of the Talmud.
Look, I know that Kalergi has been kind of getting let me rephrase that. Kalergi has gotten a bad rap for a very long time for good reason. But some people are seeking to kind of rehabilitate his image. Almost again, this type of interesting idea where I see some nationalists are kind of, I understand that they're kind of enamored by the idea of a pan-European Union. But the problem with Kalergi, even if he was warning, so there's the translation issue there, right? He said if this could be the future of Europe, right? The Eurasian Negroid race. And there was a disagreement in the, there was a interpretation issue in terms of the translation, that the correct translation when you look at the German is that it was almost more like a warning, as far as I understand it. But of course, in my view, that doesn't matter. It matters, but I'm saying he still had this interesting other passages in there where he talks about how Jews are like a superior race, and he did have an argument that Jews would have to marry Jews to create a new kind of aristocratic class. And I want none of that in my, for me, please. Thank you. We don't need any of that. All right. He was kind of a mod himself, right? Half Japanese, right? So he was kind of, people have said he favored like more mixed people and stuff like that. But so regardless how you sliced it out, it's like, okay, was it actually exactly like that was said? Was it a warning or was it an encouragement? I think the larger picture kind of stands, right, of like him being enamored with like Jewish aristocratic, kind of ideals, and there should be a mixing that with European nobility, essentially, or like to create a new human, and so some weird ideas anyway. But these people here, that's a very, what she says there, therefore, is a very Kalergi-esque value, right? Talmudic values. That's the EU now.
Europe is the values of the Talmud.
Should we play the Talmud compilation? Maybe we should. Norse Wolf made a compilation here. Should we play a little bit of this? Check some of them out. Stuff here. Teachings of the Talmud by Norse Wolf. European values coming up. You get the idea. You got two more minutes of this to go here, but you get the point. These are nice European values right here, apparently. Oh, that's a mistranslation. Oh, that wasn't, you know. So that's what you get. But anyway, yeah, the Babylonian Talmud compiled over several centuries. The core discussion took place in the 3rd to the 5th centuries, with the final redaction and editing occurring roughly between 500 to 600 C. There, the Mishnah 200 C, the Gemara 3rd to 5th century CE. Okay, all right. Okay. So anyway, that's those values. Okay, is there more here? Yeah. Oh, they found some anti-Semitic racist things here in the party here, the ESN, the Europe of Sovereign Nations. Let's listen to that.
Political parties and foundations, they have to comply with a bunch of values. So that's like respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, the rule of law, human rights, rights of minorities, and so on. And
okay, what about the rights of European people to not go extinct? Maybe that should be a value you'd think of the European Union.
Democracy, equality, the rule of law, human rights, a bunch of values. So that's
the same. A bunch of values. The Talmudic values, of course. Yes. Human rights.
Have to comply with a bunch of values. So that's like respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, the rule of law, human rights of minorities, and so on. And this watchdog has investigated the ESN, and they've got a 300-page letter, which has been obtained by our colleague Max Griera, where they say they found evidence that the members of the ESN have been breaching those values.
Yeah, I mean, they say they have found social media posts and screenshots, court rulings that show things like anti-immigration views, anti-Semitism, anti-LGBT rhetoric, calls for remigration, and the depiction of homosexuality as pedophilia.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I don't care.
Actually, I do care, and good. I hope, goddammit, fuck it. I hope it's real. It better be real, damn it. How about that?
Calls for remigration and the depiction of homosexual.
Yeah, because what's untrue about those things?
The members of the ESN have been breaching those values.
I mean, this better be real, right? I mean, hopefully that's like actually what AFD is. Is it some... I go back on that all the time. I don't... When I look at those parties, including like the Sweden Democrats and all this, and specifically how they're not cozying up to like Israel, they're getting officially recognized kind of by the... Like they need this somehow. We need to grovel to Israel. You know, the Vox Party, Sweden Democrats, was it AFD? I think they have the branches of like going to visits with Israel and all that shit. Anyway, like we need that. Do they think they're just playing some 5D chess here or something, right? Uh-oh. I'm flickering again. Okay, well, I think we're good still. I just don't think they have it in them, right? That unfortunately, I mean, I wish they do. I wish they do. But here's the Sweden Democrats guy, just as an example, like former Sweden Democrat leader, Åkesson, Jimmy Åkesson, which is the this guy right there, the head of the Sweden Democrats, might have been bought by Israel. It's like, okay, oh, fuck is this now, you know? May 12, 2026. Jimmy Åkesson's sudden burning commitment to Israel has caused many to raise their eyebrows. Previously, the SD leader... But now, I don't think SD is part of the ESN. Maybe they are. I don't know, but it doesn't sound like it. Maybe they would have brought them up. I can research that real quick. Maybe they are. I mean, hopefully, maybe they are, because they seem decent then. But I'm just making that as the wider point, right, of seeing many of these right-wing, far-right parties in Europe going this way, unfortunately. The SLR openly expressed strong disinterest on the issue of, like, Israel-Palestine, according to Augustin's predecessor in the party's leadership position. It could be because he has been bought, says Mikael Jansson, about the turnaround here on the issues, right? So that could very well be true. But anyway, that's a side issue here, too. Well, it's related, but in terms of what I wanted to cover, right? So hopefully it's true that they are just trying, like, well, let's just say we're those things, or say that we're on their side or something, or yes, let's put the, let's tone it down and say, nah, it's fine. We're just going to deport the illegals. We're not going to do, you know, much of that. Don't worry. Maybe they're thinking that somehow they're going to get the migrants to vote for them, and then they come into power and they just hardcore just, you know, clamp down on everything and take over. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, hopefully it happens, but I mean, probably not, right? So what is the reality of this then? The reality of this is this independent watchdog. What was it again? Did we get a name on this? The watchdog. Here we go. The Authority for European Political Parties and Foundations is probably just partially making that up. They're partially probably just exacerbating, embellishing these claims, or maybe they found one tweet from 3-4 years ago by one member that now has one minor role in a party, and that's enough, right? We know how these things go. They kind of piece that together. They said that they found evidence, my mouse is freaking out again, that cast doubt on the compliance of the ESN party with EU values. So the values is can only continuously lead to extinction of the white European race. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that a fascinating realization to come to? That the only thing where you're in moral and legal compliance with the supposed to some, like some nationalists seem to think somehow that an EU is secretly based or something because Ursula wants to give more weapons to Zelensky or something, and that's the extent of it, I guess, or something. I'm not a big fan either. We can end with looking at what's going on in Russia as a flip side of that. But anyway, but somehow it's secretly based. Therefore, they're really on Azov's side or something like that. I don't know what the draw is, but I'm seeing some murmurs of these continuously kind of on. I won't name any names, but it's just like kind of EU is kind of, it's secretly kind of a good thing or something like that. It's like It's unreformable. It's just destroy it and burn it to the ground. There is no way. Specifically, if the very foundation of the legality of your compliance to the organization itself is the only path through, is the extinction of the European race. Like, you can't work with that. Our existence is non-negotiable, right? We're not going to argue with you. Well, what about 40%? Can we be 30%? Can we fight? Can we organize now when we're 10%? How about 5.5%? Can we do it now? At some point, you just have to stop asking for permission from these people, and you just have to do it. And you just have to march forward, regardless. All right. Anyway, back to the. That might have been it for the clip there, but anyway.
That's like respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, the rule of law, human rights, rights of minorities, and so on. And this watchdog has investigated the ESN, and they've got a 300-page letter, which has been obtained by our colleague Max Griera, where they say they found evidence that the members of the ESN have been breaching those values.
Yeah, I mean, they say they have found social media posts and screenshots, court rulings that show things like anti-immigration views, anti-Semitism, anti-LGBT rhetoric, calls for remigration, and the depiction of homosexuality as pedophilia.
Yeah, so that's pretty intense stuff there. And basically, Max has written this story that's out today, and he requested a comment from the ESN. They did not respond to that request, but the party president, Stanislav Stoyanov, he spoke with the watchdog, with the APPF, and he said that the ESN has no mandate to intervene directly in the affairs of its member parties. However, we remain committed to upholding the core values of the EU.
But looking at this from a bigger perspective,
that's kind of what I get that with politics, right? We're kind of waiting for someone to just double and triple down, and he's like, we're going to... Part of politics is, that's why it sucks, right? It's endless compromise. And, you know, I mean, there's a time, of course, when it's not that. But I'm saying in its current state, specifically when we don't hold the power, significant power to outmaneuver, other parties or something like that, right? Politics is cuckery. It is compromise. But then ironically, at the end of it, when you do, like, what matters for us and people on our side is ultimately to have and to hold power. And that certainly, at some point, that involves the political process itself, right? Now, there's different philosophies of where the breaking point is and when and whatnot and whatever. But at some point, it will fall back to where it's politics, right? But it used to be, politics used to be discussions about tax rates or how long should parental leave be the case. What degree of environmental protection should we have? What's our foreign policy stance? That used to be politics in our countries. Now it's like our very existence is up for grabs. It's a completely different scenario, right? And we're expected to bring in and accommodate people like this.
I'm here for my money and my free house. It's my dream.
That has to be AI, right? I mean, it might not be. It's the delivery sounds AI. I mean, I've heard people basically say this. There's protests in Sweden. This is years ago, like decades ago now. The Somalis are out and like just... we want to give us houses, and so it's not like this. It's not exaggerated. It's true, but the delivery sounds like AI.
I'm here for my money and my free house. It's my dream.
I think it's my dream that makes it. I don't know. Or my money, maybe. I don't know. All right. Yeah, they do really say that. No, that's true. Service very bad. I remember that they wanted a better service when they came in. Very bad service.
Now, I can just imagine as soon as, say, J.D. Vance gets wind of this, he's going to say, this is exactly what I was talking about of Europe suppressing free speech, of the elite trying to block views that they don't like. And, this is also coming at a time that the German parliament is discussing whether to ask the Constitutional Court to start the process of banning the alternative for Germany.
Yeah, so this is really... quite an interesting dilemma that Europe faces, because Europe on the one hand, do political parties with these sorts of views have a right to exist, no matter how illiberal they might be, how offensive some of their posts might be? Or is there something more important than that, which is this adherence to EU values that the EU and that national watchdogs can impose as well? And it's been an interesting tension, particularly because of the wave of far-right support that has been sweeping Europe and that has found some...
I return to the... But for some reason, there's some rice of right-wing nationalistic parties in Europe. It's kind of a mystery of why, but for some reason, there's just these random, strange people that for no reason just wants to blame immigrants. I wonder why. Another Swiss man today was enriching parts of Switzerland. We have the International Ice Hockey Federation Cup being played in Switzerland, by the way, right now. Walla wakbar. The least unpredictable thing to happen in Europe right there. Four people have been injured. At least no one died. Just get them out. Just get rid of them. Well, at least, guys, at least we have Russia, right? No, actually, we don't. Here's Moscow. This is totally, Russia is based, right? Based Poland, based Bulgaria, based Hungary, based Russia. I think there's something like 200,000 Muslims. We're meeting in Moscow. That was a lovely thing to hear. 200,000 Islamists are gathering in Moscow at the central mosque there for Eid al-Adha. And then the next photo shoot is with the Talmud. With the Talmud. Because those are only the values of Russia and not by the EU.
Europe is the values of the Talmud.
That's right. Okay. All right, guys. Well, Russia's cooked too. Putin is a Jew, by the way, someone says. There was some speculation about that. I'm not sure. But, you know, kicking out a few oligarchs back in the early 2000s is not going to, I mean, that might be impressive at the time. And it's like, ooh, what is this? But, like, with all this shit, you know. What's his name again? Was it Chief Rabbi? I also forget his name. Lansky or something? What is his name? Or maybe he's chief rabbi of... Yeah, Pinchas Goldschmidt. Yeah, he's the one who continuously talk about how... He's the chief rabbi of Moscow. He continues to talk about how Muslims and Jews are allies against, like, white supremacy and stuff. Lazar. That's right. The primary chief rabbi of Russia is Rabbi Barel Lazar, who leads the Federation of Jewish Communities in Russia and has held the position since 2000. In addition, Rabbi Adolf Shayevich from the Congression of the Jewish Religious Organization Associations in Russia and holds chief rabbi title. Anyway, same shit, different asshole. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to... wrap up the show right there. Hope you enjoyed it.
I'm Jewish, but I'm here to help you.
That's right. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we're going to be back, obviously, here tomorrow with Flashback Friday. Join us then live if you can. It's always more fun if you're tuning in live. I know we did a late show here today, but we appreciate you guys. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for all the donations you guys sent. We appreciate you. Albert, King Albert, special shout out as always. You're amazing. You're incredible. We love you. Thank you so much. And thank you to you guys who's supporting the show in other ways as well, through memberships. We appreciate you guys. We can't do this without you. So if you do want to make sure that we can continue to thrive and do well, redicemembers.com. That's a great place to go to get a membership and support us and get in on the action over in the member section, redicemembers.com, locals or Subscribestar. We will be doing a After Flash tomorrow, too. By the way, After Flashback Friday. We're going to have a guest sitting in. Blonde Bigot is going to join us, too. So it's me and two women. Oh, boy. How's that going to go? I'll stay quiet, I think. I'll stay quiet for most of the show. I'll just produce the show. How about that? Nah, it should be fun. Blonde Bigot is great. That should be fun, as always. Okay, so we'll do that tomorrow. And we will be live. Where's the graph for Flashback Friday? Holy smokes. Can we just show that on the screen? There we go. Flashback Friday, tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. 11 p.m. or 2300 hours Central European time. Tune in for that, Flashback Friday. Going to be good. It's going to be a good show, as always. And then we'll do some After Flash right after. It'll be good. We always enjoy Friday shows with you guys. So, yeah, join us live for that. All right. So we'll see you guys then. I don't think I have anything else to wrap up on right there. I think that's it. Oh, I do want to give a shout-out to our wonderful, very, very white executive producers here, too. Let's go, everybody. Executive producers, first out, the king himself, King Albert, Arctic Wolf. Thank you so much, Albert. Much love. William Fox, America First Books. We love you, too, man. Thank you for your support. Saying to Angry White Soccer Mom, thank you. We got Purple Haze as well. Thank you for your support, sir. Appreciate it. Glenn, thank you, Glenn. I'm going to try your crypto option tomorrow, too. I hope they have that up and running, by the way. President Obunga, thank you for your support. We appreciate you. Also good to see Good Luck Lap among our executive producers. Thank you, sir. We got number one Jeebs also joining us. We appreciate you. We got Hungarian Mom. Thank you. We appreciate you and the fam. Sun Destroyer 520. Thank you for your support. Appreciate you. We got the Deplorable Extraordinaire. Thank you to you as well. And then we have Santoso. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you, Santoso. Thank you. We got the Boo Man. We appreciate you as well, Boo Man. Many, many thanks for your support. Also, thanks to Charles Turner Jr. We appreciate you. Hope everything is good, Charles. We got DJ Snow Snow. Thank you to your support as well. We appreciate you. Thank you, DJ Snow Snow. We got Bertrand Compere, last but not least. Then we got our producers. Yuan Son, Lira Demand, Ice Open, Single Action Army, Lord HP, Lovecraft. We have Trevor, Deschwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute. We have Greg M, J Barr, Chris W, Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Hadrian, and Ernst Jaeger. Thank you so much to all our producers. You guys are wonderful. Very, very wide of you. To get a producer or executive producer tier over at redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get in on the membership action and get your name in the credits. A special shout out from us here at Red Ice. And of course, help us grow and expand at the same time. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you. All right, so that's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. It looked like everything held during the thunderstorm. I can't even hear any right now. A little bit of rain still. Wasn't that dramatic? They always say it's going to be like, watch out. You're basically going to die. There's some extreme weather. Maybe I'll eat my words later. Maybe it'll be real bad here within an hour or something. But anyway, all right, guys, thank you so much. So we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in for Flashback Friday, and we'll see you guys then. Take care. Love you all. Have a good evening, good night, good morning, wherever you are. And we'll see you for Flashback Friday tomorrow. Tune in then. Bye-bye. Folk first. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows Flashback Friday live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. No Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.
New Red Ice merch available now. Vogue First t-shirts for adults and for toddlers. Fatigues for men. Our favorite, the Red Ice camper mug or ceramic with black print. High quality leather keychain with solar boat imprint. Our Red Ice hat, one of our best sellers. Pick one up today, or why not? Gray Auslander Rouse t-shirts for both women and men. We also have fridge magnets, Folk First, One Disease, and our black men's t-shirt with the classic red solar boat. Folk First. Get your Red Ice merch from LanasLlama.com. Get an item today. Lana's Llama, proud sponsor of Red Ice.
I'm here for my money and my free house.
Now, do make sure that you follow us.
Jewish, but I'm here to help you.